Yeah, sure. Hello.
Tim, can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Rob Phillips, not Kaylee. Kaylee is my daughter.
Oh, okay.
How are we doing, Tim?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Go shut my door. You guys see my screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Flying bike.
Yes. And who is logged in as Cycling News 1984?
You're on mute.
On. Okay, we're good now?
Yes.
Right.
Just giving a couple more minutes for people to join. All right, I guess we can get started. 12:01 here. First item of business is public forum. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Okay. All right, and then approval. Oh, Tony Trolls is coming. And before we get to the minutes, why don't we just go ahead and everyone can introduce yourself. Start with myself. I'm Tim Malone, Capital Region Council of Governments. Here we go. We got a couple more people coming in. All right, Eric, why don't you start?
Sure, my name is Eric Anderson. I'm the administrator for the town of Andover.
Excellent. Right next here, Rob Phillips.
Yeah, Rob Phillips. It's showing up as Kaylee P on my screen, but director of planning in Southington.
See, oh, it keeps moving around on me. All right, Mike Cipriano.
Yes, Mike Cipriano with the Capital Region Council of Governments.
We have Tony Chirolas, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Tony Chirolas here from Transport Hartford Academy and BCCO over here at the Center for Latino Progress.
All right, John DiBiase.
John DiBiase, Assistant Town Engineer, Town of Manchester.
Okay. Oh yeah, things are jumping around all over here. All right, Ryan Faulkner.
Yep, Ryan Faulkner, I'm an intern with CROG. Right.
Peter Gillespie. I assume that's you, Peter. You want to introduce yourself?
Peter Gillespie, Town of Weathersfield, a town planner and economic development manager.
All right, Sandy Fry.
Sandy Fry, City of Hartford, Bicycle and Pedestrian Coordinator.
Stuart Popper.
East Coast Greenway.
Patrice.
Patrice Carson, Town of Bolton, Director of Community Development.
And we have somebody on the phone, phone number ending in 23422.
That's me, Stuart Popper.
Oh, okay. You're in here twice. All right. Did I forget anyone? Did I miss anyone? It's jumping around a lot. Anyone who I didn't call on?
Chris Squires.
Oh, Chris. Sorry about
Chris
that.
Chris Squires, bicycle advocate, founding board member of the East Coast Greenway Alliance.
Okay. And I think everyone else. Okay. Yeah. Anyone else that I missed? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, the participant list on Zoom, it just jumps around a lot. So I don't know why it changes order all the time. All right. So the next item on the agenda is the minutes from, what was that, June 30th, 2020?
Patrice Carson would be happy to make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right, do we have a second?
I seconded Chris Squires.
And any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. All right, motion passes. All right. Now just some updates. Can you all see my screen?
Yep.
Okay. So, first of all, it is Bike to Work week, so I hope that everyone is getting out there. And although it looks like a lot of you are working from home, so I guess biking to work is fairly easy. just take a ride around the block at least and end up where you started. So that's always, it's always an exciting week. So some news here, we're finalizing, we are for the CDC project that we have, which is our Active Living, Active Transportation project. We are finalizing our year 3 contract with the Department of Public Health. And this contract is actually going to cover years 3 through 5. So we're actually gonna have, do the full 5 years. We're in the second year of the contract right now, finalizing our year 3 work plan. Hope to have that done soon, although there's gonna be a little bit of a lag. Our fiscal year for the grant ends at the end of this month. We probably won't have the next one in place due to various attorney general approvals and such until probably November. At the earliest, but at least we will have 3 years of work in there. So we're still plugging away on projects. We've got a couple that are upcoming, including this painting project in Waterbury on the green. And that's gonna do some traffic calming and sidewalk extensions and reducing turning radiuses and crossing distances. With some artwork that's kind of based on a piece of painting that's actually in the Matatuck Museum. So they're partnering with the Matatuck Museum on this. It's gonna be pretty exciting, pretty big project. Hopefully that'll be happening probably in the spring.
Does that include any flex bollards or planters to further direct traffic or just the paint?
We're also doing bollards.
Those work great.
Yeah, we like the bollards. They're easy to install and people seem to obey them, so.
And when they don't, you put them back.
Yeah, fairly easy. The planters are a little harder to put back if someone doesn't obey them. We also have a project in Cornwall Bridge, which is gonna be a rural project where I don't have a picture of it up here, but it's gonna be some traffic calming and pedestrian improvements on their little green in Cornwall Bridge to connect this small little shopping area with the green, and hopefully reduce some speeds. There's a triangular intersection with two state roads that's really conducive to speeding through. So we're gonna test out some options for slowing that down and making it a little more pedestrian friendly. We're excited about this one because it's actually a partnership with the DOT this is actually going to be taking place on a state road. So this will be the first time that we're doing one of these projects on a state road. So that's going to be interesting. Hopefully we'll be able to pull it off. But those are two things that are pretty exciting coming up. We had a recent project that we were able to complete. This is on Simsbury on Notch Road, which is part of the Farmington River Trail. To the on-road portion of that. And they installed a temporary splitter island at this intersection and some paints and flex bollards deflection to slow cars down as they're coming onto Notch Road and coming off of Notch Road, moving the stop sign and teeing up the intersection. It was previously sort of a speedway. We haven't gotten the data back yet, but all the comments that we've gotten from residents have been positive. People are liking the improvement, and I think it's probably making it nicer for cyclists as well. But we're gonna be going out there, collecting some speed data and seeing what the after picture's like. But that's an interesting one as well. Another thing that we're doing under the CDC grant is CT Trail Finder. It's a statewide website curated by trail managers. So all the information will be coming directly from trail managers. So it's, it's accurate and it's been vetted and this is a curated list. It's based on a project in Maine called the Maine Trail Finder. I encourage you to check it out if you had a chance. It's a great site for finding a trail. They have information such as how family friendly it is, if it's ADA accessible, what the material that the trail is made out of. UConn is leading the project, but Krog and our consultants are helping out. We're doing some coordination with trail managers. We did a webinar on the project to help with trail managers to get up to speed on it. And we're also going out there. We've hired a photographer to take some pictures to help provide some promotional materials for the project. But we think this is pretty exciting and it's nice statewide initiative. Our East-West Rail Economic Impact Study is underway. We have our consultant on board. We've hired AECOM to do this, and they're looking at an economic analysis of the impacts of connecting Hartford through Springfield to Boston. So this would be reestablishing the rail link to Boston, which has been a long-term goal of the agency. And we're looking at, what are the development impacts? So this is going beyond what we normally do, which is a simple cost-benefit analysis, but to look at, what is the bigger picture of providing rail transport connections between Springfield and Boston and into Hartford. We recently completed our round of LOTSIP funding. This was the first round of LOTSIP funding that we did under our new Complete Streets policy. So all projects had to certify that they were including Complete Streets elements or that they had that they were gonna meet the criteria for an exception. We funded $36 million in projects. That included 4 sidewalk projects and 2 multi-use trail projects. And if you look at the list here of projects that got funded, there's road diets, some reconstructions, but a lot of these included bike lanes and other improvements for complete streets elements. So we're pretty excited about that, and that's a pretty big amount of money to put out there. Another item on the funding side of things is the TIP STIP is out there for public comment. So this is the Transportation Improvement Program and also the Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. They're both available for public comment right now. The public comment period goes from September 11th to October 12th. And we're gonna have virtual public meetings on September 30th, both at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. So for those who don't know, the Transportation Improvement Program is basically a plan for spending 4 years worth of federal funds. So all the federal funds that get spent in the region have to go into this plan, or into this program. And this is your opportunity to look at the list of projects that are gonna be coming up and to provide comments on them. So there's more information on our website, www.krog.org/tip. And we also have some links to the information at the DOT website for the Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. Other news, it's National Walk to School Day, is October 7th. And I've got a little link here. I can send out this presentation afterwards, or put it up on the website so you can get to the link. Kind of coincides with the follows up on National Bike to Work Week. But the Walk to School Day is interesting and probably gonna be a little bit less of an event this year. Due to all the COVID restrictions, not a lot of people actually physically going to school, but it is an interesting day. One other piece of news that I did not put in here that I wanted to, I see Mike you're still on here, right, Mike Cipriano? We did our annual bike ped count. And I don't know, Mike, do you have, if you want to go through some stats on how we did this year?
Yeah, so real quick, I think right now we are at 60 of our 70 locations accounted for. So, you know, thank you to Tony and Sandy, Patrice, for all helping out with all that stuff. But yeah, so we're starting to get all of our accounts back. So Ryan and I are going to be taking a look at that next couple weeks or so. Starting to put the data in the system, and we can pass that all along to you guys when that's completed. But I'm pretty happy with the turnout this year, considering everything. I think we're up at about 85% counted, and we'll see what the numbers say, I guess. We'll have more information. I think it's December, our next meeting, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we'll have, you know, more information on that for December, and then but so far, so good.
Yeah, and I would just add that what I'm hearing as early results is that the trail counts have been pretty strong, which is goes along with what we're hearing, that a lot more people are getting out there and using trails during this time. So that's kind of consistent with that. And as a reminder, this is now the second time we've done our year two counts that we're in?
Yep.
So these are going to be comparable to our 2017 count.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're doing the same locations that we did in 2017. So we'll be able to have some time series data when we do the analysis. So that'll be interesting to look at when we do that. Before we go into the town updates and all that, I just wanted to put out there, I forgot to put this on the agenda, but I was wondering if any, just throwing out there some ideas, or just soliciting ideas rather, on what sort of presentations people would like to see in the future. If there's any projects that they would want to hear more about, that we can ask somebody to come in and do a presentation on. If there are any topics that, you know, we'd like to get some presenters to come in on, we'd be happy to reach out. But if there's, you know, just throwing it out there, you know, what topics are people interested in learning more about and in discussing more about? So if anyone has anything.
Yeah, Tony? There's something we're talking about a lot right now in Hartford, especially with our pandemic traffic wildness. I don't know, the Wild West nature of driving these days.
The excessive speeding.
Yeah, reckless driving, blown lights, excessive speeding. I know it's not just a Hartford thing. Statewide, we've seen a significant increase in crash fatalities, even though overall crash numbers went down during the pandemic. So those high severity crashes have gone up. So Vision Zero is something we've been talking about as a approach in Hartford. So we're trying to get folks more up to speed on what that means. And the more people that understand it, the less I have to explain it individually. I guess the other topic is, you know, techniques, successful techniques and approaches for mode shift. Not just saying that bike and pedestrian modes are good and transit is good, but actual policy and infrastructure investments that shift mode, which is something we haven't had success with yet in Connecticut, but other places have.
Yeah, those are both really good. And, you know, I think one thing that is sort of a benefit now of not meeting in person is that, you know, if we could find a city that's done Vision Zero that's, you know, somewhat comparable to Hartford, we could probably have them give a remote presentation, perhaps. It'd be a little easier than having to have someone come in person. So, you know, doing a video conferencing with another city that's done Vision Zero would be, I think, be something we could look into, especially if you have any ideas for candidates. Be happy to talk to you about that later. Same with the techniques for mode shift. I know some places like Seattle has had a really big mode shift to transit through some significant transit investments. If we could find something that's a little more comparable to our size, I think that would be good to do. But yeah, if you want to talk offline about some examples or places that we might want to point to.
Sure.
And I see Eric Anderson had put in the chat rural traffic calming. We could certainly do something on that.
Yeah, that's you know, both rural and urban traffic calming is, you know, a big element in making areas. You know, we've been on a push. Well, I've been on a push the last few years. Well, more than that. For changing the infrastructure in town to be more amenable to biking, pedestrian, alternative uses. But it really has to go hand in hand with getting the average road speed of the automobiles down. You know, we've, like everybody else, we run into that. And the reality is, if you're having newer cyclists and lots of pedestrians and kids in close proximity with cars doing 40 to 50, you know, you got a recipe for some pretty bad interaction. So anything that helps along those lines in terms of what's working, what doesn't, you know, bring in a national authority, what are common sense, simple methods to address, you know, traffic calming?
Yeah, we actually did a, we did a webinar for, not a webinar, this was before webinars, where the all the rage. We did a workshop in the Northwest Hills area in Goshen for the Northwest Hills Council of Governments as part of our CDC project on rural complete streets. And they had a lot of examples of some traffic calming measures. We actually have that available on our website. I can point you to where to find that. I think actually if you just search on our website for rural complete streets, it would come up. But we have the whole presentation recorded and we can put that up there. But yeah, that's a, having a national authority come in and talk about that would be a great idea, I think. Or even if there's some areas around the state that have done a particularly good job of trying some more rural complete traffic calming projects and seeing some local examples could be good too, if anyone knows of any. Tony, can you tell us more about this school zone speed camera pilot project that you put in the chat box?
Yeah, New York City, and Providence have both implemented speed cameras. New York City implemented theirs as a multi-year pilot with a report coming out of it from, I think, 2014 to 17, and they further expanded it. It was initially only during school hours, but they realized if it's a school zone, there's, you know, it's important to have the speed limits observed around the clock. And the approach triggered a lower cost ticket, a $50 ticket at 11 miles per hour over the speed limit in a 25 mile an hour zone, which somebody was clearly speeding, clearly signed, and they found that folks typically only got a ticket once and then changed behavior. And speeding and crashes went down. Speeding went down a lot, especially while the cameras were known to be operating. And they had community support and were able to continue the project. It initiated at the state level. They had to have legislative action to initiate the pilot and continue it. So that is the New York City example. Providence has taken a similar approach on a much smaller scale. And the tickets are treated like a parking ticket rather than a moving violation. And it therefore is focused on the vehicle, not the driver. So it doesn't matter who's driving. It just is a ticket that is assigned to the vehicle, which, you know, gets around the somebody borrowed my car argument that sometimes comes up.
Right.
So that's something that I know we're interested in as a pilot with a study in Hartford. I've heard similar sentiments from New Haven. They're a bit more interested in the traffic light camera side of things, which has different applications and complexity. But those automated enforcement methods are can be much more effective than what little we have for traffic enforcement now. And it gets rid of the subjectivity that is sometimes associated with that. Hmm. And cameras don't search your car.
Well, that's true. And I believe that currently any sort of automated camera enforcement is not allowed in Connecticut. So there would have to be some legislative fixes.
And as was the case as well in New York.
In New York, yeah. So that's another good suggestion. Maybe we could get someone from New York to present at a future meeting and talk about it. Anyone else have any topics that they think would be good to go over at a future meeting?
I do also like the link that Tony just put up about, you know, speed humps. You know, and that's something we've been going through too, is figuring out would they be effective, when and where, what the correct design attributes of a speed hump, you know, what kind of spacing you need. I mean, all that information is out there, but it's really nice to talk through. I've had a bunch of conversations with people in Mansfield, Connecticut, who have done, you know, have put in a lot in their neighborhoods. And just understanding where and what's appropriate for that.
Okay. Can look into that.
And how does Public Works deal with them in the winter? Because that's always the complaint.
They're difficult to plow. They're signed, and we have 200 of them in Hartford, and we plow. They know where they are. They drive the same route every time. They are not a speed bump. They don't have a lip. They don't catch the plow blade. There's considerations, you know, they don't hit them at 30 miles an hour like they're driving on a straight stretch, but they have to slow down like any other vehicle would going over a speed hump. So it may slightly slow down their route, but they plow them.
And one idea that I had, and I don't know, Sandy, if, yeah, she's still here. I'm not sure if how far along you'll be with it, but I was thinking that a presentation on reimagined Main Streets could be interesting for folks. If December would, you know, you'd be far enough along to present something.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of interesting stuff coming out of that. We're particularly interested because it, you know, happens to be on the road that we're on here at CROG. So, all right. Well, thank you all for that. And if you have any other ideas that you come up with later, feel free to just send me an email on things that you'd like to hear more about, or if there's any projects that you want an update on. We had at our Regional Planning Commission meeting last week, we had an update from the Greater Hartford Mobility Study. That was pretty interesting. So just let me know if you think of anything. And with that, we'll go to what's new in your town. And I forget how we did this last time. I guess I'll just go in order of people I see here. Tony, do you want to start us off?
Certainly. I just put a link in the chat for the data visualization that we just put together on Hartford crash data for 5.5 years of data, and hopefully we update it quarterly and keep an eye on that. That really helps us identify where we have safety concerns for all different types of crashes and levels of severity. And we can compare, you know, before and after an intervention with that heat map. Other things we've got coming up, and some of them are statewide. Tomorrow, there is a online public forum on the Governor's Council on Climate Change and a breakout session discussing the transportation section, which includes a lot of information about active transportation, safety, and infrastructure investment. And also VMT, vehicle miles traveled, reduction and ways to do that. So I can drop a link to that, or I'll send it to you by email, Tim, to share. That is 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow. On October 1st, we've got a noon to 1 p.m. lunchtime discussion and Q&A on equity and transportation equity, environmental justice issues in Connecticut as part of a series from Connecticut Deep. And that is somewhat associated with the Governor's Council on Climate Change. And we'll be involved with that. I'll provide the link. Coming up, we have the Northeast Multimodal Transit Summit. We've got a walk bike book club with two great books, one called Bicycle Race by Donia Lugo, and the other is Right of Way, which is focused on pedestrian severe crashes and fatalities by Andrew Schmidt. And those are both going to be keynote speakers at the November 23rd summit. We don't have a date yet for the book club discussion, but we wanted to get the link out there for folks to RSVP and help us pick that date and time for the discussion or discussions so that they can have time to get and read the books. And we've got them into several of the local libraries. You can request it in your local library as well. November 17th, we're going to host a online how to do a walk bike audit. And that is to in conjunction with the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities and Sustainable CT, hopefully spurring walk bike audits in other communities in pursuit of getting credit for the Sustainable CT levels of recognition. Saturday, November 21st, we'll be going down to New Haven and working with our friends down there with the city and Go New Haven Go to conduct a tactical urbanism and complete streets bike tour projects down in New Haven. This is actually a reschedule of what we tried to do last year, except it rained. So we're redoing it this year, and we can do it outdoors and with the pandemic limitations. The November 23rd is the summit itself, and I can send a link for folks to RSVP and support, and the all of the registration donations are matched 100% by Sustainable CT and their great campaign. Lots of great stuff getting done through that match fund. VSECO-wise, we have our Bikes for Jobs program is up, you know, still up and cranking, where we can have somebody referred in for a $20 bike, lock, light, and helmet. For jobs access, getting to school or medical appointments, and we have free bike lights, basic bike light sets for those that stop by the shop. That was funded by our beginning of this year campaign, also through Sustainable CT with the match fund. And the shop is the final, the bike boom backlog is starting to flatten out, and we've caught up. And the challenge still is just getting bike parts, because that's still industry-wide a challenge, getting new parts in a timely fashion. Yeah, lots of great stuff. If anybody's interested on the bike education side, I don't know if anyone's from, I didn't see anyone from Avon on, but there's a September 25th and 26th bike safety course being offered by Steve Mitchell for the Traffic Skills 101. And then in mid-October, New Haven is hosting the 3 days leak cycling instructors training seminar for those that want to be bike safety instructors. So probably last chance to get involved in that if there's still space available.
All right. Thank you. And I don't know if everyone has the chat open. If you might want to throw the link for the multimodal summit registration in the chat box, that way people can take a look. We have a moment. Let's see. Next on my list here, Chris, what do you have?
The college opened up a new building on the corner of Ensign Street, Goodwin University. So the building's up, but they're way behind schedule on opening this whole thing. I think they're, because of COVID, they're really just hanging in by a thread, I think, at this point, because they're trying to get their tenants in, which is the credit union and some kind of coffee shop that's supposedly supposed to be going in there. But when they repaved the road, Ensign Street, it went from a rural road with no striping in the middle to double yellow line. And now everybody's speeding down my street. And I'm like, I can't get an answer from the town. I put a phone call in, and I don't know if the town signed an MOU to the college to take over this street and plow it, because there's private plowing going on during the winter. So I don't know what's going on with this street, but it's definitely gone bad with this road. It's gone from bad to worse. So I need some answers.
So in general, is your concern that
answers I want?
Is your concern that they went from what we probably consider a best practice, which is an unlined neighborhood street that sort of naturally traffic calms, to a center line street that where you lose that benefit?
Yep, exactly.
I think you know as we do that I've not seen East Hartford engage in this regional committee.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know what their transportation engineer or public works even knows about those topics. I think they probably think they're doing what's right, but not understanding the nuance of the design.
Right. I had heard through the grapevine that the mayor is tied to the college, and also she's got her fingers into everything with retaining to the college, any kind of development. Supposedly she got CRDA money to get this road repaved, which was about $1.5 million, $1.5 million. So that she kind of ran it underneath the radar. Nobody even knew. I mean, with all the sewers being replaced and stuff. So I don't know, you know, it's just going to get worse down here. But for the COVID end of things, their plans are on the back foot now for the marina and the hotel going on down here. So they may be a few years, you know, backpedaling because of the financial end of this. So I don't know.
You know, that Ensign Street, that street is ideal for what, for like having two traffic, you know, traffic calming speed humps, you know.
Right.
If I were a neighborhood advocate, that would be my recommendation. I would have said you probably shouldn't have put the double yellow line, but that they've done it. They could go back and put in speed humps if there's a speeding issue.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to put a phone call into the mayor's office and talk to her. I don't know where I'm going to get with her, but we'll see how things are going. Other than that, I haven't heard anything on Silver Lane. the trail or anything. I don't know if you know anything more about it, Tim?
I haven't heard anything recently now.
Okay. And that's about it for me.
Thank you.
Yep.
Eric, I think you're next on my list here.
All right, so Andover's a pretty small town, so we have fairly limited resources, but we have been chipping away at some of our problem areas. We have focused fairly heavily on the East Coast Greenway as it goes through town, because it's the basically our east-west pedestrian slash cycling corridor that runs completely through town. We've recently, as part of a general tree clearing plan, done a lot of work to address sight lines where the rail and town roads come together, because we've had a bunch of incidents where, you know, cyclists are mad at cars for not stopping and cars are mad at cyclists for, you know, being cyclists. And so we're trying to deconflict by just making at least visibility. We put in crosswalks at all the crossings that are big and bold and visible. So that has been a success. We are, as part of our repaving plan, whenever we repave a road that is intersects with the rail trail, we're actually paving decent and long aprons so cyclists have a paved part to stop on, because that's been one of our problems. When the state put the trail in, they never really addressed properly any of the town road intersections. And any other person that crossed a town road would be required to put in an apron, but the state never put in aprons anywhere. So we're kind of addressing that. And the second thing we're doing is we have a focus group on our Lake District, which we identified about 4 or 5 years ago in our complete streets plan as the highest population density in town and also the flattest, most bikeable, walkable, paved area of town. So we're doing a kind of an emphasis right now on safety in that region. And we've got a lot of concerns from people in that region about speeding. We've done a bunch of enforcement with our resident state trooper. The problem is it's all the people in the lake that are getting caught speeding. And, you know, so it's, you know, the big thing several years ago was it's all outsiders driving through. Well, there's nowhere to drive through in the lake zone. You drive to the lake zone, you drive from the lake zone. There are a couple streets that go to neighboring towns, but it's been kind of eye-opening to realize that, you know, like 93% of the speeding tickets we give are to people that live on the lake. And, you know, they're the people that are complaining about speeding. So we're buying one of the radar speed monitoring cameras that we'll use and also use to collect data on exactly where the speeding is worst. And, you know, we're looking at other traffic calming methods we can use throughout that region, you know, to kind of knock down the problem. Because we recognize that it really is a problem and it's a very narrow road from the 1920s, you know, and we have really excessive speeds on it. So same concerns everybody else, you know, just different town.
Please don't widen it.
That's not an option or a desire.
That's funny that it's all the locals who are getting caught. You just got to be careful what you wish for. All right.
Exactly.
All right, Manchester, what do we got?
Hi, this is John DiBiase again. It's been kind of quiet for the most part. We're winding down some of our projects that I've talked about. A lot of sidewalk replacement, a lot of ramps. Have our lots of application I got approved that's gonna go into design hopefully soon. We also, I believe, and I haven't been out there to check it out yet, at the Corkscrew on the East Coast Greenway that's over by Camp Meeting Road and Birch Mountain Road. Our public works crew has gone out and we've created a trail connection to the Case Pond parking lot that's off Birch Mountain Road. to be ADA accessible. Did a lot cheaper than the state wanted to do it as a change order. So made that successful connection. There's some RRFBs that we're looking into at a couple locations. The next project is to install one on our Cheney Trail, which is a rails to trail path through the center of town. Just getting ready to gear up for what we're going to do in the springtime. We have been on a road by road basis evaluating opportunities to install bike lanes where the road widths permit, reducing adjacent travel lanes in order to accommodate that. On the roads where we're able to do 5-foot bike lanes, we've change ordered that into our current paving projects that are in construction right now. Some roads, it's just the widths don't quite work out, so we've opted just to maximize the shoulders everywhere else that we can. Mostly we're talking some arterial roads, some collector roads, and the local roads are generally low volume, as you know, so don't always stripe the center and shoulder lines on those accordingly, again, on a case-by-case basis. That's all I got. Thanks.
That's really interesting, the road-by-road analysis for bike lanes. Would you be willing to perhaps give a short presentation on some of your results at a future meeting?
Yeah, we could do that. We're concurrently sort of developing sort of a bike route master plan where we have our trails indicated, areas where we have existing bike lanes that we've installed and locations where we are proposing to when the next paving opportunity arises, and then looking at those sort of spots in between to kind of connect our network. So we want to take opportunity of the existing paving projects on some of our bigger streets now while it's available, and then at the same time kind of more better plan it out so that we can incorporate a lot of that into the projects pre-bid as opposed to change ordering changes during construction. So at a later meeting, I'd be happy to talk about it, take a couple pictures. Hopefully we'll have the map all squared away. So
yeah, it sounds like an interesting approach that a lot of towns could probably benefit from. Thank you.
Hey, Tim, quick question to the town of Manchester. What is the deal with the industrial park piece from through Manchester into the Hop River piece? Does the town own that industrial piece? Are you guys working on it?
Are you guessing you're asking about the section that's not in a good state of repair?
The Cheney piece, the final piece from Fars up into the industrial park.
The end. At the north end, we're still awaiting deliberations between the Connecticut Department of Transportation and the railroad company about access and rights. It's been a while since I've heard anything new. Last I heard was that the used to be the co-op. Now it's, I don't know if COVID changed anything, but it was going to be a company that was going to produce wood pellets. They indicated at the time they did not need the railroad access. So if DOT buys the rights, they can kind of transfer them to the town. And then the plan would be to look for funding opportunities and then sort of create that final connection to get it across North Main Street, Main Street, and up into that section. The bridge, the massive bridge that's out there, probably could be a project in and of itself. We definitely want to pursue it. We're just in a holding pattern. Same with DOT on the potential roundabouts near Main and North Main and kind of how that all interacts with the railroad in Oakland Street. So TBD for now, but we're keeping an eye on what develops. It's just a very slow process.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Peter, what's going on in Weathersfield?
So here in Weathersfield, a couple of things. We adopted a complete streets policy earlier in the summer. And in early September, the Central Connecticut Health District was kind enough to throw us a little bit of money. We hired a tool design and conducted a follow-up workshop with our board and commission members, our town staff, the mayor, town manager, to discuss how we will go forward in implementing that policy. So it was eye-opening, and we got some pretty good turnout. So we were encouraged by the reaction to that. So thanks again to the Central Connecticut Health District for that. They've been a great partner for the four towns here that work closely with them. And then secondly, we were pleased to be listed on the recent LOTSIP funding process for improvements to our Heritage Way bike path, specifically along Great Meadow Road. That will be a nice complement to the planned improvements at the Putnam Bridge Trail. Those two will connect directly to each other. So very happy to announce that we'll be getting some funding for that. So those are the two. Lastly, we're trying to wrap up the completion of our bike and pedestrian plan. We've been working on that for longer than I care to admit, but we're coming to the end of that. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have that document in place, which can also feed in nicely to our complete streets policy. So those are the highlights for us.
Excellent. Congratulations on getting that policy. Let's see, who's next? Rob, what do you got for Southington?
Not too much, just trying to survive all this coronavirus stuff. Been fairly busy here. The multi-use trail looks like it the DOT is starting to acquire some key property that's going to help extend the trail up to the Plainville town line. I think they're either at 90% completion in design or they're going to be soon. Hopefully we start putting a shovel in the ground in 2021. So that's the main update, really. That's that has any significance.
Excellent. Yeah, and I've heard that the Plainville section is moving along as well through design, and I think it's scheduled for 2022 construction or something. All right, Sandy.
Yeah, I realized
takes me
I hadn't,
a while to get unmuted.
Sandy, I realized I hadn't mentioned any of the really cool bike lane striping and traffic calming and other stuff. So left that all open.
Thank you. So some things we're working on. We've been working on a complete streets plan for many months, since about February, I think, and we're very close to finishing that. It's not the end-all be-all for complete streets plan. We're going to need to follow it up with a design guide at some point, but we wanted to try to fill some gaps around our bike plan and also give some direction to the city. We address traffic signal design, encouraging going to concurrent phasing from exclusive phasing. We talk about what the acceptable crosswalk marking is for the city of Hartford, which will be the Continental crosswalk. So that'll be great when we get it in place. It's going to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission and then the City Council for adoption. We're also, Tony had mentioned earlier, we're starting to look at Vision Zero. Vision Zero is mentioned in our Complete Streets policy. It's mentioned in our Plan of Conservation and Development. But what we haven't had yet was a real deep understanding of what does that mean if you're pursuing Vision Zero. And we haven't had the visible high-level support that says this is important to the city of Hartford. We're going to eliminate traffic deaths and traffic serious injuries. So we're just starting on that and really excited about the potential with that and how it will bring so many efforts together. We have a couple trail projects moving forward. The extension of the river walk along the Connecticut River northward of the boathouse is proceeding a little more slowly. We had hoped it would be out to to bid like by the end of this year or early next year, but it'll be another year still. The reason being that Riverfront Recapture actually purchased the final piece of land between the city of Hartford and the town of Windsor. And we had to do some negotiation with DOT to enable us to build a bridge over Meadow Brook to connect the trail to Riverfront's property. And they've got a lot of exciting plans for that property. And now extend the trail so it links up to the Windsor Trail. So that's a really exciting link. We also got some grant money through the Bond Commission for the South Branch of the Park River. We will be out with an RFP for a designer soon. This will extend the trail from its current terminus at Nyland Street to Newfield. Then what Tony was referring to right before I started speaking is that the city, now that we have a bike plan in place, and I really, you know, what you're doing in Manchester, developing a map is so important, because now when the repaving program is identified, I go through it and look to see what roads are on our bike plan and what can we implement at this point. So we've had some real successes in extending some bike lanes, adding new bike lanes, being aggressive about parking with bike lanes, you know, after doing a parking utilization survey. We need to get a little more systematic about that to be sure that we're checking parking utilization in all cases, so that if we can maybe get a little extra space, we can buffer bike lanes. So that's what's happening right now in the city of Hartford. And what I should have mentioned too, we've gotten so many complaints about speeding. It really is the Wild West. It's horrendous. So there's been a lot of concern with Wethersfield Avenue, where there was a recent just horrific fatality. There was a terrible pedestrian crash on Capitol Avenue, right near Flower Street. And Flatbush has had incidents where people just start speeding down the street. They travel in the left-hand lane. And in this case, somebody whacked a car that was in the intersection, dragged it into a corner property at the corner of Flatbush and Saybrook. So DPW was able to get out there and install some temporary speed bumps. And this one's pretty significant because Flatbush is not the type of street that the city would say speed bumps were appropriate. So we're going to see how those work. And we've really become convinced that we've got to have road features that prevent the speeding, the racing. And there's been some bones of contention in the city as to whether medians are suitable or not. DPW doesn't particularly like them. There's something more to maintain. Lots of times people will clip their tires on them, but they will prevent the kind of ridiculous speeding that we've seen on some of our roads. Like Wethersfield Avenue is a good example. It was traffic calmed in the early 2000s from four lanes to three lanes. Two-way turn lane in the center and one lane in each direction. Well, that's good for the prudent driver. That slows down the prudent driver. The imprudent driver knows that that painted median will not stop them, and they just go racing down the street. Consider the two-way turn lane to be a passing lane or a speeding lane. So we really want to look at those kind of physical improvements. And hopefully a lot of this stuff will, you know, come under the Vision Zero umbrella, and we'll be doing things really systematically. So that's what I have.
Thank you. And Patrice, what do you have for Bolton?
Not a lot. We are not actually really in the office yet. That doesn't stop us from doing work, but we haven't really done much in the way of biking, et cetera. We are continuing to work on our connectivity grant, which is going to open up a trail for pedestrians and bikes, I suppose, that runs from basically the
center school, the elementary school, all the way over to the town hall area, which runs through a green by a library, by the town hall, and into the Rochambeau historic area. So we're continuing to work on that. We did take part in the bike count, and I need to get that info to Mike, which I'll be chatting with you, Mike, because I want to make sure of how the easiest way. I assume just if I scan it and send it to you, that's probably good, but I'll chat with you about that offline. Other than that, not a lot going on.
Okay. Well, thank you. What was the connectivity grant doing again?
We had part of our initial connectivity study was to connect the center of town with different areas. So this one runs from the elementary school down Bolton Center Road. So it will run by the big green where the library is, past the town hall, down to the Rochambeau Trail area and historic area.
Okay. Cool. All right. Is there anything else from anybody? Well, hearing nothing else, thank you all for coming today and for sharing your information on all your updates. And we'll be following up on some ideas for future presentations and discussions. But thank you all. Hear a motion to adjourn?
Patrice, so moved.
Seconded.
All right. All in favor can, I guess, just leave.
Stay well.
All right. Thank you all.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.